It's Thursday, and time to read from your email.
And proof this week that you are listening closely, some corrections.
First, an error brought to our attention by Patrick O'Sullivan of Normal, Illinois. In our coverage of this week's Supreme Court decisions, we indicated that the Communications Decency Act intended to punish child pornographers. That is incorrect. The law was intended to keep indecent material away from children online. As Mr. O'Sullivan points out, there is a difference.
My interview with author Joel Achenbach about his book The Grand Idea brought this from listener Mark Gibbs of Thompson Station, Tennessee. It was a rare pleasure hearing an important landmark in my tiny home county mentioned on NPR, but please get the state right the next time. Achenbach stated that the Fairfax Stone, the origin of the Potomac River, is in western Maryland. The Fairfax Stone is actually located at the corner of Grant, Preston, and Tucker counties in West Virginia. Mr. Gibbs does have a point. The Fairfax Stone is the border of those counties in West Virginia, but Achenbach was right, too. The stone also marks the border with the state of Maryland.
American Geography for 1,000 now, with this note about our coverage of the end of Greyhound bus service to small towns between Chicago and Seattle. In an interview, Julie Goldsbury of North Dakota's Golden Valley News told me the town of Beach, North Dakota, was about 500 miles away from both Fargo and Billings, Montana. So she said nearly a 1,000-mile stretch of country will be without bus service. 1,000 miles? Wondered listener Eric Knight of Chantilly, Virginia. I knew spaces out there were big, but they're apparently even bigger than I remembered, he wrote. So Knight fired up a road atlas on his computer and found that the drive from Fargo to Billings through Beach, North Dakota, measures 610 miles. He writes, presenting this story with factual errors made me feel like I was being manipulated instead of informed.
Also a correction of what I said about English translations of Cyrano de Bergerac. American poet Brian Hooker's translation dates from 1923, not the 1930s, and Anthony Burgess's 1971 translation was used for the television production of the Royal Shakespeare Company, but it was commissioned by the Tyrone Guthrie Theater.
On now to the story that brought in the most mail by far, a conversation between our colleague Melissa Block and Performance Today host Fred Child about the young classical guitarists who are building on the legacy of the great Andre Segovia.
To point out the technical progress made by guitarists over the past century, Child noted what he said were imperfections in Segovia's playing. Chords buzz on the frets and fingers squeak on the strings.
That critique didn't go over too well with many of you, including Jerry Saka of Amarillo, Texas. I love every squeak and buzz Segovia ever produced, he writes. Those were sounds of a notable master. Perhaps Fred Child would suggest that Vincent van Gogh should have painted straighter lines, or that Muhammad Ali should have perspired less than he did.
Bravo, Melissa, writes listener and guitarist Stephen Bennett of Gloucester Point, Virginia. I want to thank her for her suggestion during the piece that there is perhaps more soul, and therefore more music, in Segovia's recordings. I couldn't agree more. Fred Child is correct that modern guitarists demonstrate technical perfection to be marveled at, but technique is merely a means to an end. The end is to touch people with music.
You write, we respond every week. Send your comments to atc@npr.org. Please tell us where you live, and don't forget to tell us how to pronounce your name.